The continuing crisis engulfing Barnaby Joyce has followed Malcolm Turnbull to Washington, D.C. today. The PM, though, will be hoping to put that all aside when he sits down with the US President Donald Trump at the White House early tomorrow morning, Australian East Coast time. Malcolm Turnbull and his wife Lucy will receive a ceremonial welcome from the President and First Lady Melania Trump, described as the most significant honour bestowed on an Australian Prime Minister since John Howard visited in 2006. There's certainly plenty on the agenda for discussion between the PM and the President, including trade, business tax cuts, terrorism, and of course, China. Michael Fullilove is the Executive Director of the Lowy Institute. Welcome back to Breakfast.
Thank you, Hamish.
You've been an advisor to politicians. You know these corridors of power. Paint us a picture of these sorts of meetings. What happens when these leaders sit down together, just the two of them? There's a series of events leading up to it, but when it's just them?
Well, these things have become heavily ritualized. I mean, a long time ago, they were much more personalized. When, for example, when Winston Churchill would go to Washington during the Second World War, he would stay at the White House residence. He'd be, you know, in a guest room just down the corridor from Eleanor and up the corridor from Franklin. These days, there's enormous amounts of intensive work that goes into preparation over months. They come up with agendas, announceables. And the deep state, if you like, as Donald Trump would put it, on both sides, do absolutely everything to make sure that nothing can derail the meeting. But of course, you've got the arch disruptor in Donald Trump. So it doesn't matter how many sharp diplomats have prepared the agenda, you never quite know which way it will go.
But normally a meeting between an Australian Prime Minister and a US President would be almost guaranteed to go pretty well.
Yeah.
Those preparatory meetings and processes would put in place, as you say, announceables. In this circumstance with Donald Trump there, and as we know that the relationship between these two men has, you know, been tricky, that sort of stuff is not guaranteed, is it?
No, nothing's guaranteed. You remember the meeting with Chancellor Merkel. There are all sorts of German serious stick insects who did a lot of work in preparation for that, but then he didn't want to shake Chancellor Merkel's hand for some reason. You're dealing with, in Donald Trump, two factors, I think. Once he's a, first of all, he's a disruptor. He doesn't really mind whether he departs from the normal practices. And secondly, his instincts and his worldview on a lot of, on how America should comport itself in the world is quite different from every other president we've ever encountered on free trade, on alliances, on democracies, on strongmen. He has completely different views. So there is a strong element of unpredictability. Having said that, to give the administration its due, since that dreadful first phone call, they have really put their back into fixing this relationship. They had the makeup dinner, you recall, on the USS Intrepid, the decommissioned aircraft carrier in New York Harbor last year. They've obviously organized a terrific program for the president. So I think the people around Donald Trump have really put a big effort into trying to get the bilateral relationship back on track.
Do you expect anything substantive to come out of this meeting between Donald Trump and Malcolm Turnbull? I mean, a lot of the briefing this week has been about Malcolm Turnbull trying to get to woo Trump back into the TPP.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems unrealistic given everything that Donald Trump has said about the TPP, but is he that unpredictable that Malcolm Turnbull might think, well, I'll have a go anyway?
It seems unlikely because trade for Donald Trump is really a third rail. It's a deep instinct in his blood over many decades that that free trade is a sham and that America is getting ripped off. And really, he never saw a free trade agreement that he liked. So it would be hard to see a turnaround on something like that that is so crucial to his mindset. But as you say, Donald Trump likes a deal. He said a little while ago, perhaps we could get back into the TPP if that we struck a better deal. So I suppose you never know. Look, there will be some announceables. If there are not announceables out of a visit of this scale, then that would be a bit embarrassing. So there will be things that come out of it. But I think...
What do you expect them to be?
Well, there might be some announcements, for example, on the military side. There's been some speculation they might increase the number of Marines rotating through Darwin. He's got a big delegation. Mr. Turnbull has a big delegation of CEOs and premiers and chief ministers with him. So perhaps there'll be some investment announcements or decisions. So there'll be some things, but I think the overall... we're still in the feeling out process, really, we're dealing with a leader of the free world who doesn't believe in the free world. And so every meeting attendant upon it is risk. the chance of disruption, the hope that you'll get through it okay. Of course, the Prime Minister wants a good relationship with the President of the United States because he's the most powerful person in the world, but you don't want to get too close to this President because there's danger lies that way as well. So I think in his mind, I mean, the officials around them will be thinking about the announceables. Everyone will be hoping that the meeting goes well and that they really put that awful first phone call now fully in the rearview mirror.
What would you be advising Malcolm Turnbull if you were one of his advisors today before going into this meeting, given the unpredictability of Trump, but also the differences in their character? I mean, Malcolm Turnbull, it's hard to imagine a leader more different to Trump in the way they think about matters, the way they add nuance to conversations. What would you be saying to Prime Minister Turnbull?
Well, I think Turnbull probably has a pretty good fix on Trump. And the reason I say that is a couple of things. First of all, you're right. They're very different because Turnbull is a cosmopolitan, a sophisticate, an inner city liver, an art collector, and Mr. Trump is a brash property developer from the outer boroughs. And actually, Mr. Turnbull is probably the sort of person that Mr. Trump's base doesn't like. But on the other hand, I would say they are very familiar types to each other. Mr. Trump has dealt with many sophisticated investment bankers, over his lifetime. Mr. Turnbull has dealt with a lot of big characters like Mr. Trump. In fact, on 60 Minutes the other night, you remember he compared Donald Trump to Kerry Packer, who was a man that both Trump and Turnbull knew. So I think there's some familiarity between them. I think they run in similar circles in a way. And secondly, if you look at the evidence so far, Mr. Turnbull has done a reasonable job of trying to keep the relationship on the rails. When the transcript of that call came through between Mr. Turnbull and Mr. Trump, I thought Turnbull actually came off pretty well because, you really got the sense that there's a conversation here and one person's going totally crazy and Turnbull is trying to bring him back to the point, sort of listen to him to some extent, but not let him get away with completely outrageous assertions. So probably in his long series of business dealings with the Packers of this world, Turnbull has got a shtick for dealing with somebody like Trump.
Let's talk about China. Malcolm Turnbull gave an interview before this trip in which he sort of addressed the question of whether China is a threat. He said that's not how Australia sees it. And very clearly putting some distance between the way Donald Trump talks about China and the way he talks about China. That said, do you think China and the broader issues there presents an opportunity for Turnbull to draw Trump in, to engage with him on a substantive matter?
I'm a bit sceptical of that because I think that I don't think that Mr. Trump has a coherent view of China. And, before the election, he promised to confront China on currency manipulation, on trade. Since being elected, he has really coddled China. He's been flattered by Xi Jinping. He's gone out of his way mainly to be nice to China. The deep state, what Mr. Trump calls the deep state, has a different view of China. The U.S. security establishment is really toughening up on China. You saw that in the national security strategy, the national defense strategy. So, you've got a divide on China as on many issues between the deep state on the one hand and the Donald on the other. And then I would say on our side, it's not exactly as though Australia has a clear view on China at the moment. I mean, there are the first strains of partisanship opening up on the China question. If you look at the government's policies itself, there's a lot of incoherence. On the one hand, they'll be slapping down the Chinese for their aid programs to Pacific. On the other hand, they're saying, no, that they're not a threat. So I don't think either, frankly, Washington or Canberra at the political level has really resolved China at the moment. So, it's not like Turnbull is going in with a very clear view of China and he's trying to edge Mr. Trump in a particular direction. I don't see it as that coherent and deliberate.
Given what you've just said about the signs of some partisanship on the China question here in Australia and the lack of clarity in terms of our position on it, do you think Trump's broad sort of language around China, plus the appointment of someone like Harry Harris as the US ambassador to Australia, given his pretty hawkish views on the matter in this region, do you think that will force Australia's hand somewhat to reach more of a consensus or even to be clearer about where we stand on these things?
I hope so. I think Admiral Harris's appointment will sharpen the choices for Australia, because you've got the most, one of the most consequential individuals ever appointed to an embassy in Australia. He's got strong views on Beijing. Beijing doesn't like Mr. Harris. And so I think this will sharpen the choices on both sides, and I don't think that's a bad thing.
Is he going to be pushing our politicians, our leaders, to make those sorts of decisions in a way that we might not be used to?
Quite possibly. I think the diplomats around Mr. Harris will be trying to say to him, look, we don't want you to change your views, but we want you to change the way you express your views, because you can say one thing when you have command responsibility for half the Earth's surface and you have 375,000 personnel serving to you, and you have to do it differently when you're an ambassador. You have to be more diplomatic. But he has strong views, and the US has interests that they want to prosecute in relation to the Australia-China relationship. But on our view, but on our side, I think we need to get some clarity. We need to work out when our interests overlap, when Australia's interests and China's overlap, we have to think, how can we be ambitious about the relationship? But when they diverge, we think we need to be clear-eyed about the fact that our behaviour will diverge. And at the moment, the debate is really getting mussed up, I think, by so many different issues. So I think it's really time for us to focus and get some clarity on China.
We will have to leave it there. We appreciate you coming in, as always, Michael Fuller Love.
Thank you, Hamish.
Michael Fuller Love is the Executive Director of the Lowy Institute.